Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Arkinger Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor, my great read. On the line, regular guest, Dr. Charles Russo. He's the Joseph Panzer Chair of Education in the School of Education and Health and Sciences. Director of a bunch of other PhD programs, and adjunct professor. you do too many things, Charlie. You do too many things.
And he also plays hockey.
I was telling Mike that I played ice hockey last night. A puck deflected off my helmet to another guy's stick, and I got an assist.
Hey! That's actually pretty awesome.
I know. That is in your head, except that my ear still hurts.
Okay, all right. But it was worth it. It was worth it.
How are you guys?
Doing great. Great talking to you, although sometimes you bring up stuff where I'm just like, huh? I tilt my head. Because if you told me radical ideological orthodoxy, I'd be like, okay, yeah. You know, orthodoxy, that's something that we should embrace. It always has good ends, right, Charlie?
Yeah, I hope so, right?
All right, but now you're saying that it's trampling parental rights. So what's going on?
Well, gender ideology with respect to such things as adoption and fostering is being put ahead. And in one of the cases, great-grandparents were going to wanted to foster their great-granddaughter, a year old. And on the questionnaire to qualify as a foster parent, it asked whether they would provide transitioning services for a hypothetical child. I can understand that if you're dealing with a teenager, maybe, but for a one-year-old child, where does that come in? You know, where's the rights of the parents? I mentioned to you guys before, and in a number of articles I've written, there's a 1925 Supreme Court case called Pierce versus Society of Sisters, important for two reasons. Number one, it allowed non-public schools to continue to operate. But number two, it said the child is not the mere creature of the state. The parents have the right to direct the control, in 1925 language, his destiny. It should be his and her, to be politically correct today. So, you know, where are parental rights to raise the kids as they see fit?
Okay, this is just getting crazy, Charlie, because I'm on the same page. I mean, if someone, let's say, if it was a situation where I was going to be raising one of my grandchildren, and I mean, this is going to sound really crass, but if they said, hey, if your granddaughter, when she's 15 years old, wants to surgically remove her breasts, are you going to support that? I mean, that is a crazy straw man question, Charlie.
I agree. My perspective on it is, you respect people whomever they are, wherever they are, but if kids want to make these decisions, let them get into adulthood and make decisions when they turn 18 or 19. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, when my kids were little, I think you guys have kids, how often does your child at 4 or 5 say, I'm a dog, I'm a puppy? You don't put the food bowl on the floor. And I don't mean to reduce that to the absurd, and I certainly don't mean to be disrespectful to kids who are experiencing gender dysphoria, but can a kid at 14 or 15 or some as young as 8 and 9 really understand the lifelong impact of going through some of the things that they wanted to go through? And my answer is no. And I don't know if you saw it last day or two in England, which is not the United States, obviously. England just said they're going to really put a halt to a lot of the transgender surgeries and transitioning at that early ages.
Yeah.
You know, when you're an adult, do as you wish.
In fact, overnight, Scotland just said, I mentioned the last story, that they are banning drugs and surgeries for anyone under the age of 18 right now.
Please go.
So that's a good sign. They're coming to their senses a little more. Charlie, it seems like here, whenever one of these crazy decisions, like the great-grandparents can't foster their great-granddaughter who's a year old, that what happens is you end up taking the time now, and maybe we have to in this day and age, you got to take it to court, and then you got to lay out why the government is being, too narrow or not considering things like they just want to care for their granddaughter's child in this time of need. And it's got to be drawn out in court cases that last years sometimes. Are we making any inroads when these kind of things do?
Well, in these cases, so far they prevailed. There's a little bit of common sense, but not at all. It's you know, in that case, the parents won, but I wrote an article for a Catholic World Report about a year ago, and it's still going on, I forget if it's Washington or Oregon. I wrote the article, but I can't remember. A woman, Jessica Bates, was widowed with a couple of kids. She sought to adopt twins. Kids were, I think, 9 or 10 years old. And she already had 4 or 5 kids. And again, because of her stance with regard to LGBT issues, they were not going to let her adopt these kids. So these kids went without a loving, caring home because the ideology of people working in the agencies prevailed.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what gets me is I'd like to know where all these wonderful homes are that follow their ideology. Like, if you've got these people that are like, oh, yeah, I'm very pro-LGBTQ, I+, and all that kind of stuff, therefore, I'm going to adopt some kids or foster some children. Is there a place, or do these kids just end up, I mean, for crying out loud, if the grandparents want to foster the child, you know, come on, Charlie.
Again, I'm with you. I don't know if you've seen a case, an article I wrote on, I'm looking at it here. On March 23rd, there was a case from Indiana, MC and JC versus Indiana Department of Child Services. A teenager came home and said that he was a she. The parents were found to be fit parents, yet the 16-year-old was taken from the family home and put into foster care. Courts, a trial court in Indiana ordered that. An intermediate appellate court in Indiana upheld it. The Supreme Court of Indiana refused to hear an appeal, and so did the United States Supreme Court. The problem with the Supreme Court decision, Justice Alito dissented, thankfully, but the Supreme Court did not say why it dissented. By the time it got to the court, as I think you suggested, Ellen, the student was over 18, so there was no longer a live controversy. But in law, there's a concept called capable of repetition yet evading review. And I wonder why the court did not take this. Why is it not standing up for the rights of parents? I don't get that. Again, I respect people, whatever their views are, that, you know, you have the right to be whomever you are. But at what point does the state stop interfering in familial relationships?
Mm-hmm. See, because my fear is, Charlie, that, okay, this is the hot button issue right now with the whole gender dysphoria thing. But when are they going to then just continue with that with ideology? Like, we, in our house, we're very pro-life. Mm-hmm. So if they said, well, if your daughter, let's say, wants to be support pro-abortion, are you going to accept that? And I'd be like, well, not really. Like, what do you mean? Like, I'm not going to let her have meetings at our house or something like that, you know, with Planned Parenthood. So am I now an unfit parent? Do you see where I'm going with this, Charlie?
Understood, yeah. And I mean, you know, that's the interesting thing. In that case from Indiana, the court found that they were fit parents. They were not unfit. But in the other cases with the adoptions, and again, some of them, some of the parents prevailed, or some of the folks prevailed, some didn't. They allowed that ideology to step in the way. And I mean, in the one case here, the court even said there was an acute shortage of caregivers. Mm-hmm. I wrote a column for Catholic World Report again about a year ago where the same thing happened to a couple in Massachusetts. They were childless. They sought to foster, but because the religious beliefs came up, they were denied. And I don't want to paint with too broad a brush, but I had a column come out just last night when I came over and played hockey. There it was posted. There's a situation near Seattle where a fifth grade young woman wanted to start a prayer club. She had been kind of bullied and harassed because of her religious beliefs. And although the principal allowed a whole bunch of other clubs, including a pride club in an elementary school, she refused to allow the faith-based club to school. What I don't understand that, don't understand is, rather, why this religious bigotry? You know, it's a quote attributed to a lot of different people, including Peter Viewerk and Pat Buchanan. But the quote was that anti-Semitism is the anti-Catholicism is the anti-Semitism of the intellectual. And I think you could change that to anti-Christianity. I don't know why Christian ideals that have been such an important part of this nation, and we're religiously plural, I understand that, but why are religious or Christian views being so systematically excluded? And I've not seen a case, but I'd have to believe that that observant Muslims and observant Jewish people would be in the same situation, as well as other faiths.
Yeah, I'm looking at your article. Congratulations. Like, hot off the presses, religious bigotry raises its ugly head in Seattle. Charlie, it seems to me that a lot of these issues that are coming to light, especially through the courts, are really happening in more progressive areas in the country, with the exception maybe of Indiana, which seems quite surprising. And is it to the detriment of faithful people to sometimes live and set down long-term roots in some of these places? Because something could happen, and, you know, given the past history, the courts are not going to be in the favor of parental rights or religious freedoms or some of the things that we've been seeing really pushed into the docket of the court cases in these progressive areas.
It certainly seems that way, doesn't it? But you get states like Colorado, where the exodus from California is taking over there, and even in Texas. Some people are trying to turn Texas purple, if you go with the political analogy. So yeah, I think people have to be careful where they live. But if you were born and raised someplace, is that a reason to move out at that point? Mm-hmm. If you've already settled and put down roots? You raise a great question, Alan. I think that's a legitimate fear. I'd like to think that people in charge, whatever that means, will come a bit more to their senses and realize that you have to treat all people equally. The Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment says that you have to treat similarly situated people similarly. And I don't see why religion becomes this kind of bugaboo that it can be discriminated against because of your faith. I just don't get it.
Yeah, it does seem that the religious or anything on the more conservative or traditional aspect of culture gets pigeonholed. Like, you could have all the pride clubs you wanted to start in the Seattle elementary school, but heaven forbid that you have a faith-based or Christian club trying to be started by two 11-year-olds that apparently have more faith than a lot of people on the school board there in Seattle.
Sure. And a question I like to raise is, you know, when we go to school, when we're told as little kids, don't smoke, don't drink, don't cross in the middle of the street, yada, 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 and oh my God, don't mention God. You know, the Supreme Court had this test that they finally threw out in the football coach case a couple years ago, Kennedy versus Bremerton, the Lemon test. And one of the points of Lemon says you can neither advance nor inhibit religion. Mm-hmm. How are such attitudes not inhibiting? How are they not discriminatory against religion? And as somebody who teaches in the area of education law, which is my primary concern, but within that, my own personal favorite interest is religious freedom, I don't know how that can continue.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make sense that where policymakers are become radically secularized. And again, we're a pluralistic country. I understand that. There's a lot of different values. But we keep hearing, you know, respect, respect, respect.
Right.
No, you know, hate has no place here. Why can that hatred and lack of respect be directed at Christians?
Right, Charlie. Oh, they're going to cut us off there. Thanks for joining us. Check out his latest article in CatholicReport.com.
Thanks, Charlie.
Pleasure, Todd. Stay well. Right. Take care.
You too.